Good afternoon. It is 1:55, almost. This is the Senate Finance Committee. Today is Friday, April 17th, 2015. With me at the table, Senator Dunleavy. Welcome. Senator Bishop, Senator Hoffman, Co-Chairman Kelly, Vice Chairman Michicki, and myself, Senator McKinnon, and Senator Olson should be with us shortly. He's just stepped out of the room. On today's agenda, we have House Bill 123, establishing a marijuana control board, for introduction today, as well as HB 135, public employee Roth contributions. Is there anything else to come before the committee? Seeing and hearing none, I'd like to invite Cynthia Franklin, as well as Commissioner Laddick, thank you very much, to the table. If you could introduce yourself. Let's see, Mr. Commissioner Laddick there.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Cynthia Franklin. I'm the director of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. I expect Commissioner Laddick to be joining momentarily. He also stepped into the hall. House Bill 123 is a bill creating a marijuana control board. And with an accompanying fiscal note, this marijuana control board would be a five-member board that would be served by the same agency as the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board with shared staff and resources. The fiscal note reflects a cost of regulating marijuana in the state of Alaska. The actual monies expended for the creation of the board and costs associated with the board themselves I can go into that at the appropriate time. The regulation of marijuana in a safe and responsible manner is something that the administration believes we can accomplish and begin that process by the passage of this bill. The Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, as you are aware, does important work, and we want to make sure that the work on these two substances is done by individuals who have the capacity and resources to strictly regulate this new substance in Alaska. That is imperative both in order for the safety of the public and our citizens, and also to make sure that anyone dealing with this substance in this state stays on the right side of the federal government. The composition of the board includes an individual who represents the interests of public safety, an individual who represents the interest of public health, an individual who represents the marijuana industry, an individual who resides in a rural area, and an individual who is either a public member or a second representative of the marijuana industry. The board would be subject to a sunset review, and the board, as I stated, would be served by the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board agency and staff, and that is myself as the director, and additional staff as represented in the fiscal note to make certain that we do this regulatory process correctly. I'll leave it at that for now and take questions.
Brief at ease. We're back on the record. I do want to acknowledge we have a full compliment, Senator Olson. I had previously mentioned that you had just stepped out of the room, but you've been with us most of the time.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
At the table, we have Cynthia Franklin, as well as Commissioner Laddick. Commissioner, welcome to Senate Finance, and what we are doing is presenting to the committee the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill number 123. Do you have any opening comments on the Marijuana Control Board?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chris Laddick, Commissioner Designee. Just that we, in the interest of brevity, we think this is a bare-bones approach to the problem with the fiscal note and the approach that Cynthia Franklin has taken, and we very much need to get this board in place and work on this initiative. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Franklin, if you could do a walkthrough section by section and tell us what the purpose of each section is trying to accomplish at a high level.
Madam Chair, thank you. Cynthia Franklin again from the EDC Board. I will start with Section 1, which amends Title 4 to include the fact that the Director of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board is simultaneously the Director of the Marijuana Control Board. Section 2 creates the composition of the Marijuana Control Board that I briefly mentioned in the introduction, and states definitions for those designated seats. Section 3 provides for terms of office, per diem expenses, when the board is going to have the meetings, and the powers and duties of the board, and also provides for enforcement powers for the officers I mentioned in the introduction, and the appointment and removal of the director and staff. And Section 3 also provides for the duties of the director and provides some definitions that amend the initiative that the voters created to make this Marijuana Control Board the regulatory agency for marijuana. It includes some language regarding initial appointments and staggered terms, and some transitions language with regard to regulations that might be promulgated by the ABC in the interim.
Do you have any other sections that you'd like to cover?
Section
4?
Oh, yes,
new
sorry.
Subsection?
Section 5 provides that the Marijuana Control Board is the board referred to in 1738. Section 6 provides definitions regarding the director and registration, the term that's used in the ballot measure 2. Section 7 provides an amendment of Title 44 that makes it clear that the Marijuana Control Board would fall under the administrative services of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. And Section 8 adds again to, and 8 and 9 add to Title 44 to include this board in those boards that are governed by that department. Section 10 provides for those staggered terms, and Section 11 provides for the transition language regarding regulations adopted by the Alcoholic Beverage Board.
Ms. Franklin, Section 12 is an effective date?
Section 12 provides for an immediate effective date.
It's an immediate one?
Yes.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dunleavy.
Brief at ease, please.
Brief at ease. Back on the record. Are there questions from committee members on the sectional analysis on 123? Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Ms. Franklin, I just had a question under enforcement and looking at your staffing levels. And I think it was, you're looking at four enforcement officers total?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, the fiscal note adds three additional officers to the five existing officers currently employed by the ABC board.
Okay, so it'd be you're adding. Okay, so there's just a total of
eight
of five and four. would you?
A total of 8 statewide.
8 wide. So they're cross-trained to do both. That answers my question.
Through the chair, yes.
Thank you.
Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just more of a curiosity than anything. When this is set up and going, is there assumed that there will be interfacing with the federal representatives of the federal government at all on anything?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, the guidance provided by the federal government and the Cole Memorandum provides that we must strictly regulate. We are hopeful that we set up a scheme strict enough that we don't have negative interaction from the federal government. The federal government is not going to provide any assistance in terms of you know, helping us with the regulations.
Thanks.
Are there other questions from committee members? Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm having a little bit of a tough time reading this, but from what I can tell on the 5 voting members, number 3 represents one currently residing in a rural area, but the way that the 5 persons stand, over half of the people of Alaska do not have a seat in an urban area, which means that someone who chose to appoint the folks of those 5 sites may very well avoid representation on the urban area. Is there a reason why there isn't a 6th person that might require a person residing in an urban area of a community over 7,000?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, there's no particular reason. The rural area component of this board was inspired by the composition of the current Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, which has a minimum requirement of 1 person from a rural area to assure representation from Bush, Alaska on the statewide board. The other designations do not have geographic components, only background components. So theoretically, anyone except that rural area seat could be from either type of geographic location in Alaska.
Senator Machicki, follow up.
Is there a reason why it's a 5-person board? And is there one of those categories? It's difficult to look at the categories to assume that, again, someone who might choose not to ask for representation for over half of the Alaskans in the state that may choose those other seats to be from a rural area. You have a requirement, but you don't have one that's a requirement for an urban representative.
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, the composition of the board and the size of the board was mirrored on the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board's size and composition. The designated seats represent changes that were negotiated through the stakeholder process in reviewing Title IV and reviewing issues related to alcohol regulation. So the expression was that with only industry seats as designated seats on a board such as this, and you ran the danger of having an industry-dominated board. So the public safety and public health seats were inspired by the work that the stakeholders did on Title IV and the ABC board. All of the seats, of course, are subject to legislative confirmation. So if you had a board where appointments by the executive branch were out of whack, so to speak, in the legislature's opinion, they would always have the option, as in most boards and commissions composition, to not confirm the proffered appointee.
Senator Machicki, thank you. Okay. Are there further questions regarding the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill 123, Labor and Commerce? Thank you for introducing the bill to us today. Ms. Franklin, I'm sorry, I have one more question. On page 6 of the bill, section 9, the Marijuana Control Board, it looks like it is sunsetting on June 30th, 2017. Can you talk to me about why that's an appropriate date and if it provides enough time to collect data for our auditor to actually use in evaluating the success or not success of the program?
Madam Chair, the version passed out of the House had a sunset date of June 30th, 2018. The change in the date was made in the committee substitute out of Senate Labor and Commerce. I believe that Senator Costello's stated intention was, because it was a new board and a new substance, to have an earlier review date, which I certainly can understand and don't oppose in concept. And one of the issues that's created by this date is that the bill that this committee just passed, HB 116, the ABC extension bill, contains a date of June 30th, 2018. It's my understanding, and of course you could get them up here, but it's my understanding based on just conversation with the Legislative Auditing Department that it would be awkward to audit the agents, half of the agency's work 1 year, half of the agency's work the following year. In addition, we know that the auditing work begins very much in advance of the sunset date. So, and if they begin, as would be normal for them, in the spring or summer of 2016, in order to bring an audit to the legislature when it gavels in January of 2017, we do not anticipate necessarily having licenses in place. The deadline in the initiative is May of 2016, so if an audit began before marijuana licenses were in place, I guess the auditors would just have to look at the regulations making process and whatever we were doing. We would like to see the dates match. I'm not sure that 2017 is enough time, but this is completely the committee's and the legislature's purview. We do not want to see the bill held up over the sunset date.
Thank you. I just wanted to highlight that as a policy difference between the House and what the Senate is proposing here, and we can talk about that difference a little bit later. I see that we have Chris Curtis in the audience, so we can talk to her about the effectiveness of the earlier date. I absolutely concur with the Chairman of Labor and Commerce that this is a issue that we want to follow closely, but as someone who served on the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee as Chairman, there is a timing issue sometimes with acquiring the data and then evaluating the data and when those opportune times exist. But with that, thank you, Ms. Franklin, for putting that on the record. I'd like to open the public hearing for the Senate CS, for the CS for House Bill number 123, Labor and Commerce. If you're following us at home, that's the version that ends with S. It's an act establishing the Marijuana Control Board relating to the powers and duties of the Marijuana Control Board, relating to the appointment, removal, and duties of the director of the Marijuana Control Board, relating to the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, and providing for an effective date. Public hearing is open. Anyone here in Juneau wishing to testify? First on the list here in Juneau, Bruce Schutz. Bruce, if you would identify yourself for the record, any affiliation, and then proceed with 3 minutes of testimony.
Hello, good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Bruce Schutz. I'm a spokesman for the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation. Thank you for the time today. First of all, I'd like to say that our organization is wholly in support of this bill.
Mr. Schultz, can you pull back from the microphone just a bit? It's vibrating. Thank you.
Our organization is wholly in support of this bill, and I would like to offer just a couple of observations broken into two general categories. First of all, the function of this board. It has always been our position and still is that a dedicated marijuana control board is crucial to successful development of marijuana regulations. I think we've seen through the course of this session that this industry and the issues surrounding are complex. They warrant very careful scrutiny, and we do believe that a dedicated board would be best, in fact crucial, for successfully defining those regulations. Second to the question of funding, I realize that money is very tight right now. The state has some real challenges there. This bill is unique in that this industry is almost guaranteed to pay off the cost of this bill several times over. I believe the fiscal note is something less than $2 million. The Marijuana Policy Group out of Colorado did a study that they published last October that suggests that they estimate that tax revenue in Alaska from the marijuana industry in 2016 could be in the range of $7 million. So right off the bat, they would pay for the first year and a half of this board, with tax revenues increasing to $23 million annually by 2020. So I would submit that this would be a great investment in this new industry, and it should pay for itself rather quickly. Any board is going to need funding. By default, this effort is going to fall to the Alcohol Control Board. And even if that happens, we don't see that as an ideal circumstance for the reasons I just stated. Even if it does go that way, that board's going to need funding. They need to devote manpower and hours through staff and so forth to developing these regulations. So we believe that funding the board is crucial. And I would just close on this. The clock has already started on this regulatory process. The ballot measure identified a 9-month regulatory process that began February 24th. So we're almost 2 months into it. And apart from the very focused study discussion that's occurred here in the legislature, we don't actually have any regulations in process yet. But the timeline hasn't changed. So whatever board gets defined now has somewhat over 7 months to complete their work. I just throw that out there because I would suggest that time is, in fact, of the essence. And in closing, I would just say this. The Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation has emerged as one of the foremost and most vocal advocates for this industry around the state. We've worked with the legislature, local governments, with the media to try and educate folks on the scope of this industry. And it's our position that this bill is critical to the successful implementation of ballot measure 2. In fact, so much so that we think failure to establish a board and to fund it would be crippling to the implementation of ballot measure 2, and we urge the board, the committee, to pass the bill before them. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, thank you for joining us today. Next, heading to the Anchorage LIO, Kristen Miles. Kristen, welcome to Senate Finance. If you could identify yourself for the record, any affiliation, and then please proceed with your testimony.
Oh, thank you. Good afternoon. And my name is Kirsten Miles. I'm Vice President of Operations for the Alaska Cabaret Hotel, Restaurant, and Retailers Association. Alaska Char represents Alaska's hospitality industry members, including over 1,800 alcohol-licensed establishments. And we believe marijuana merits its own control board and funding necessary to control and regulate marijuana. We don't want to see any of the valuable resources taken away from the existing regulation and enforcement efforts of the ABC Board for Alcohol. And for this reason, we support the passage of HB 123. And thank you for your time.
Kirsten, I apologize for getting your name wrong. Thank you for joining Senate Finance. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, the next person off net is Kathleen Frederick. Kathleen, welcome to Senate Finance. If you could identify yourself for the record and the affiliation, and then please proceed with your testimony.
Yes, this is Kathleen Frederick, the Office of Administrative Hearings, but I was here just to answer questions about the footnote.
Kathleen?
The footing for the bill.
Thank you so much. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, next here in Juneau, James Barrett. Mr. Barrett, if you could join us at the table, identify yourself for the record and any affiliation, and proceed with your testimony.
My name is James Barrett. I'm from Juneau, Alaska. Just I'm going to be really quick here. I just want to point out a couple of reasons why HB 123 is good. First thing is that it's actually pretty expensive. When we go dial it down to how much it costs per Alaskan, we're looking at less than $2. So that less than $2 buys us safety and education for our children. It provides law enforcement with a direction in the industry. It provides us with the ability to benefit from a new international market for all Alaskans. It lowers our litigation costs because we can have a good solid marijuana control board that can deal with the issues ahead of time. And it puts us in compliance with the federal government. So it's a really inexpensive way to get all those things for less than $2 per Alaskan. So that's all I have.
Thank you so much. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, thank you for joining Senate Finance. Is there anyone else off net wishing to testify on the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill 123? Is there anyone else here in Juneau wishing to testify on the Marijuana Control Board? Kate? Ms. Burkhart, if you put yourself on the record, affiliation, and then please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Kate Burkhart. I am the Executive Director of the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse and the Alaska Mental Health Board, as well as the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council. And my comments are to address two reasons that the board, the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse and the Alaska Mental Health Board support HB 123. First, you've heard comment already about the importance of not diverting resources from our alcohol policy and regulation and enforcement to comply with the requirements of ballot measure 2. Over the years, we've invested as a state in many prevention efforts related to underage drinking, and we've been very successful. Our rates of current adolescent alcohol use have declined by about 16% in the last 12 years, and our binge drinking rate has declined by half. And that has been a concerted effort on the part of communities and prevention professionals and the ABC board and the industry. And we would hate to see the effort to comply with ballot measure 2 divert resources from our successful alcohol policy regulation and enforcement and us lose ground in our alcohol prevention efforts. Secondly, the framework that you're presented with in HB 123, having two boards and one staff, is an effective model. And I say that because the Alaska Mental Health Board and the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse use the same model. We have two governor-appointed boards who bring unique expertise and represent unique constituencies together and work in concert through a joint staff. It's cost-effective. It's also effective programmatically because we benefit from the expertise of both boards. And so we believe that the framework in HB 123 meets the public health and safety concerns related to implementation of ballot measure 2 in a fiscally responsible way. We appreciate the efforts of the legislature and the administration to implement ballot measure 2 in a way that mitigates public harm but meets our legal responsibilities, and we see HB 123 as part of that. Thank you.
Ms. Burkhart, thank you for coming to Senate Finance today and testifying. Are there questions from committee members? Thank you, Ms. Burkhart. Is there anyone else here in Juneau wishing to testify on House Bill 123, Marijuana Board? Anyone off net? Seeing and hearing none, the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill number 123, Labor and Commerce. The public hearing is closed. If I could ask committee members to set aside House Bill 123. The next item before the committee is House Bill 135, an act establishing a Roth contribution program for public employees' deferred compensation program and providing for an effective date. Is Mr. John Boucher from Department of Administration and Kathy Lang, Division of Retirement and Benefits, available? Welcome to Senate Finance. If you could identify yourself for the record and then please introduce House Bill 135.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I am not John Boucher. My name is Andy Mills. I am the legislative liaison for the Department of Administration, and with me is Kathy Lee, the Chief Pension Officer at the Division of Retirement and Benefits. And first, thank you for hearing HB 135 today. We appreciate that. HB 135 is a bill that would allow for a Roth 457 contribution option for state employees. Right now, state employees have the ability to make a deferred compensation compensation to deferred comp, and that allows them to save additional money for disbursement at the time of retirement. Currently, that option is a pre-tax option. You can put that money aside and you will pay tax at the time of distribution in retirement. Really, this concept of a Roth 457 will allow for a post-tax option, meaning that it is taxed now, that employee has the certainty of the tax structure now, and that at the time of distribution, the principal and those earnings of those contributions will not be taxed. It is considered diversification for people in their retirement options. It is purely optional. And we've had a number of state employees ask if this was an option we could make available. In January of 2011, Congress passed legislation enabling governments, entities like ours with a qualified plan to provide this option to their employees. And certainly I have looked at that I would appreciate this option myself because of where we see the federal deficit currently as high as it is and the uncertainty of what two, three, four decades from now that taxation rate might be. And this is just one more tool for state employees to make those individual retirement options that they are asking for. We certainly can step through a sectional analysis and take any questions that you may have, but that is the substance of the bill before you.
Thank you. If we could walk through a sectional, that would be helpful. Ms. Lee.
Section 1 of the bill repeals and, I'm Kathy Lee. I'm the Chief Pension Officer with the Division of Retirement Benefits. Section 1 of the bill amends the existing statute. It repeals and reenacts the existing statute authorizing tax-deferred investments. The original legislation passed in 1973, and it has not been changed since then. And the purpose of the repeal and reenactment is to add the post-tax contribution option to this. Previously, it was only pre-tax. Section 2 of the bill defines that the Roth contribution means the contribution on Section 26 U.S.C. 402AC, which is the federal designation for this type of election. And then Section 3 is the effective date of the Act, which is July 1, 2015.
Are there questions from committee members? Thank you. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So walk me through the tax on the 457 plan one more time. Is it pre-taxed going in? Are you taxed going in and taxed coming out, or just taxed coming out?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, the bill that's before you would allow an option that would be taxed now, as in with your gross earnings, and at the time of retirement, what you had set aside plus the earnings would be tax-free at that time. Right now, your only option is pre-tax, not taxed now, and taxed at the time of distribution in retirement.
Thank you.
Senator Dunleavy.
Through the chair, it doesn't limit the tools that you can use for your investment. Is that correct? You can use a high-risk stock portfolio, and you won't get taxed on the end of that when you're done.
And through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, that's a very good question. Thank you. All of the options that the state currently offers for the investment are available for this, as well as the deferred compensation. Yes, all of those that runs the gamut on risk profile for where you would allocate your assets.
Any additional questions? Thank you for introducing the bill.
Thank you.
I'd like to open the public hearing on the House Bill number 135, an act establishing a Roth contribution program for public employees deferred compensation program and providing for an effective date. Is there anyone here in Juneau wishing to testify on House Bill 135? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone off net wishing to testify on House Bill 135? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Brief at ease.
Senate Finance is back in order. We've heard three bills this afternoon, and we've tried to let those bills rest overnight on most bills that are before us, but we have only two additional work days left in the legislature, so some of these bills will die if we don't consider them sooner rather than later. What I'd like to do is take a 30-minute at ease, or to a call of the chair, whatever sounds best to you. And I would like to hear from committee members if anyone wants to hold HB 123, HB 135, or HB 176. If not, then we would come back on the record at 3 o'clock and we would have a conversation about the bills to give everyone an opportunity to speak about the bills, and then we would move the bills from committee. Is there any objection to that course of action? Please let me know in the next 30 minutes, but please be here promptly at 3. We have a conference committee, I believe, scheduled at 4, so we'll have to move it, possibly move or not move. So with that, we're at recess until 3 o'clock.
Senate Finance Committee is back in order. It is 3:12 p.m., still April 17, 2015. Happy Friday, everyone. The first item back before the committee is House Bill 135, an act establishing a Roth contribution program for public employees' deferred compensation program and providing for an effective date. The public hearing was opened and closed earlier today. Senator Michicki, can you walk us through the fiscal note?
Yes, Madam Chair. The make sure that I have one fiscal note. It is from the Department of Administration. The appropriation is a centralized administrative services. The allocation is retirement benefits, and the OMB component number is 64. There's a zero fiscal note for FY16 through FY21, no supplemental and no capital cost. And there's no cost accrued to the state of Alaska. Therefore, the Division of Retirement and Benefits submits a zero fiscal note.
Are there questions on the fiscal note from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, Senator Michicki, may I have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 135, 29-GH, 1015/A from committee with the attached fiscal note, committee recommendations.
Is there any objection to moving House Bill number 35? Seeing and hearing none, House Bill 135 moves from committee. Brief at ease. Finance is back in session. The next item before the committee is the CS for House Bill number 176, Finance, an act repealing state employees' salary scheduled increases and providing for an effective date. Senator Michicki, can you walk us through the fiscal note?
Yes, Madam Chair, I have three fiscal notes for 176. First is Department various, appropriation is various, allocation is the executive branch, FY16 appropriation is a savings, total operating of $5,827,000. That was also included in the FY16 operating request, which is an offset. And then the fund source is federal receipts, GF match, GF fund, GF program, GFMH, and the temp code is 1178. For a total of the 5827.5. The second fiscal note is various as well. The appropriation is various and the allocation is the legislative branch. The OMB component number is zero. This is a $1,171,300 offset to the governor's request of the same amount, and this is total general fund savings of that same amount. And if the back page of the fiscal note has it broken down into the various divisions.
Are there questions on the fiscal note?
We have a third.
I only have two.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. And the third fiscal note is various for the court system.
That's a savings of $2,297,300. Same offset from the governor's request, which brings it to a zero fiscal note, if you will, and the various divisions and appropriations are also on the analysis on the back page.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Are there questions on the fiscal notes? Are there comments on the CS for House Bill 176? Senator Kelly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are a lot of moving pieces at this time of year, and this is one of them. We also have, in the interest of fairness to treat all employees the same, we have a provision that we voted into at this table, the operating budget, that dealt with the salaries of the covered employees. This piece of legislation is for the non-covered employees. To change what we do with raises, anticipated raises for the non-covered state employees, we have to have a statute change, and the contracts were in the operating budget. There was no way to do the non-covered employees in the budget. Point is that we're not singling anyone out. All state employees will forego the 2.5% raise. Those that were going to get it won't get it. I think the anticipated savings are $9.2 million, and obviously with a $4 billion anticipated, so I'm saying anticipated a lot, $4 billion shortfall that's coming next year and the 3.9 that we're facing now, it's a pretty dire financial situation. So the state, through the legislature, is taking action to save some money. One of the things that I didn't like is that a lot of the comments that we've gotten either from this piece of legislation or the budget action that we took is that we're somehow breaking a promise. The ability for the legislature to either fund or not fund a wage is something that is written into contracts, or because it's statute, it's available to be amended at any time, and people understand that in certain financial situations, we will make these kinds of moves if we have to protect the state and our reserves to help us spend less money, and that's what we're doing here. So I would just encourage everyone to vote for this as it's going out of committee, and to remember we are not cutting anyone's salary. No one is getting a pay cut. This is foregoing a raise that would have happened, which in the normal course of business would be an unusual thing to do if you had a shortfall of revenue as big as we are looking at. You probably wouldn't give a raise if you were in the private sector. You wouldn't do that in your own home, and we're not going to do it in the state.
Thank you for those comments, Senator Kelly. I would just say that we appreciate all the employees that are working for us hard, with a drop of over 50% in the price per barrel of oil, and that single commodity providing 90% of Alaska's budget. As the co-chairman said, we find ourselves in difficult times. We are trying to save jobs, as the chairman said, and everyone who receives a cost of living raise is being equally treated under what we're proposing. Senator Machicki, may I have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for House Bill 176, Finance, 29-LS0796, /N from committee with the attached fiscal notes and committee recommendations.
Is there any objection from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, the CS for House Bill number 176, Finance, an act repealing state employees' salaries, scheduled increases, and providing for an effective date, moves from committee. Brief at ease. Senate Finance Committee is back in session Friday, April 17th, 2015. The next item before the committee is the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill number 123, Labor and Commerce, an act establishing the Marijuana Control Board relating to the powers and duties of the Marijuana Control Board, relating to the appointment, removal, and duties of the Director of the Marijuana Control Board, relating to the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, and providing for an effective date. Senator Machicki, if I can direct the members' attention to the fiscal notes. Senator Machicki, we have new fiscal notes.
Brief at ease, Madam Chair.
Ms. Lacey, can I ask you to come to the... Are you prepared to help us through the fiscal note? Brief at ease. Senate Finance is back on the record. Senator Dunleavy had to go down to the Education Committee. We have confirmation hearings happening as we speak. Ms. Sanders, thank you for joining Senate Finance. If you could identify yourself for the record and walk us through the fiscal notes.
For the record, my name is Lacey Sanders. I work for Legislative Finance Division. There are two fiscal notes that will be attached to HB 123. I'll start with the first one, which is the Department of Commerce, Community, Economic Development, Appropriation, Alcohol Beverage Control Board, Allocation, Alcohol Beverage Control Board, OMB component number 2690. This fiscal note is informational only. The costs reflected on the fiscal note show and included in the governor's FY 2016 budget of $1,574,400 of general funds, and four full-time positions. Currently, the funding for the ABC board is included in the capital budget as a supplemental item. It's a multi-year supplemental item. So if you add together the $1.5 million of UGF in the 2016 column and the amount for the supplemental at the bottom, midway down the page for $785,700, that is the amount that's being included in the appropriations bill currently. So this is an informational fiscal note only. Are there any questions?
Sanders, please continue.
Okay, the second fiscal note is for the Department of Administration, Appropriation, Centralized Administrative Services, Allocation, Office of Administrative Hearings, OMB component number 2771. Again, this is an informational fiscal note. The direction of the chair, this fiscal note originally included $10,000 of interagency receipts. It has been zeroed out for FY 2016. The Department of Administration can use unbudgeted interagency receipts for 2016. So this again is an informational fiscal note.
Thank you, Ms. Sanders. Are there questions from committee members? Thank you for helping us with the fiscal notes. We did, if members recall, I asked a question regarding page 6, line 21. I did briefly meet with the chairman of Labor in Commerce. She has no issue with making the change. She is concerned with good management practices and understands what was testified before the committee today, and that actually that issue came to her very late in the game when they were moving the bill. So, Senator Machicki.
Madam Chair, I move amendment number 1.
Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, Amendment Number 1 is incorporated into the document. Senator Machuk, you may have a motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 123-29-GH1110/S as amended from committee with the attached fiscal notes and committee recommendation.
Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill Number 123, Labor and Commerce, /S as amended moves from committee. Brief at ease. Senate Finance Committee is back in session. Is there anything else to come before the body? We do have a meeting scheduled at 9 a.m. tomorrow. The only thing on the agenda that is left in the Senate Finance Committee for consideration, as far as the chairman knows, is HB 105, the ADA bond program and loan packages. I'll be reviewing the amendments that were brought forward and see what we want to consider for tomorrow. We do have a floor session scheduled at 11, so I will keep everybody informed. Again, it's the end of session, so hurry up and wait tends to be some of the process right now. With that, thank you for your support today in moving those three items from committee. With that, we're adjourned.